Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports.com.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins. Afternoons on The Score.
Boomer Esiason joins us.
And that was not the same Bears team that I had seen the first 4 weeks, especially defensively. Offensively, they looked like they were the walking zombies. But defensively...
Chase Daniel making his fifth start in 11 seasons, his third start in the uniform of the Chicago Bears. And there's the swing pass out to Tariq Cohen. But the Raiders are there. And a minimal gain on the play. And here is David Montgomery, who's become the workhorse for the team, but nothing doing there.
You win your one-on-one battle, your chances of winning are going to be high percentage. And you got to win your one-on-one battle. And that's just not the offensive line. That's everybody.
Once again, a second and 15 situation for the Bears in this series. And he's got time no longer. And Chase Daniel goes down, and Max Crosby knocks back Daniel in a loss of five.
Hey, this isn't about skill, or this isn't about, hey, I've got great moves. You know what this is about? Just all-out effort.
And on the jet sweep, Tariq Cohen trying to get running room. And hit immediately. Tariq Cohen, we knocked down for a loss.
The production right now, it just in the run game, isn't there. So we just got to figure out why.
And here on third down and five, Daniel goes down. And the Raider dominance continues.
They looked like they were the walking zombies.
Go Bears.
Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
The Bears zombie apocalypse, courtesy of Chris Tannehill. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score. The hour brought to you by Seattle Sutton. Your good health is their true mission. Shep in for Mac, who is at Cottage trying to hunt muskie for the next few days. Shep's in tomorrow. Spiegs is in on Thursday and Friday. Blackjack McDowell going to join the show tomorrow at 5:30. To tell some stories and talk Jerry Reinsdorf with us. So 25 minutes from this time, 24 hours from now. 24 hours and 25 minutes.
There you go.
Until
yeah,
Jack
I get the same.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about this last night before we get into the NFL team, the NFC teams that we would take before the Bears in terms of if you had to pick an NFC team to play in the Super Bowl right now. I'm watching last night, and I have George Kittle in one of my fantasy teams. And just needed him to have like literally 1 point to win, so that was easy. But George Kittle's amazing. It feels like he truck sticks an opponent twice a game where a linebacker or a safety just bounces off of him. He's a physical freak. The 2017 draft will define the Bears positively and negatively in so many ways.
I didn't know this is where you're going with this. This is literally, I mean, my chicken scratch that you can't really read here.
Yeah.
Are you going to the same place that I have
yes.
of who has taken 101 yeah. picks before one George Kittle?
Yeah, well, it's just fascinating because the 2017 draft, Ryan Pace, bad, trades up to take Trubisky in front of Watson and Mahomes. The 2017 draft, good. Ryan Pace selects two players who have been all pros already in the fourth round. Tariq Cohen as a returner and Eddie Jackson as a safety. Eddie Jackson looks like he's on an all-world track, right? Ed Reed says he could be in the Hall of Fame one day. Ryan Pace, bad, 45th pick, selects Adam Shaheen, George Kittle in the fifth round of that draft. God, this team would look so much better if they had George Kittle.
I mean, imagine that. Like, we keep, each week, it's Trey Burton. Can he do this? Trey Burton's going to be the safety valve of this offense. And it's you've been hearing this rumor of Trey Burton for, God, a year and a half now, and it hasn't developed that way. Like, can you imagine had they instead of going and trading up and getting the tight end that was the college basketball player and the project from the small school, instead of having the cute story taken to the guy from Iowa that seems like it produces an NFL tight end every damn year, if they would have just gone that route, waited a couple of rounds, gotten George Kittle, how much different this thing might look? Because he does do, I don't want to, like, Travis Kelce's the best tight end in the NFL. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, well, so that's the thing. He's, like, the most productive tight end in the NFL,
okay,
but he has Mahomes. Like,
sure.
Right? So George Kittle set...
Like, George Kittle is good at everything. Like, his run blocking last night was
awesome.
I don't know how many long runs that he helped spring. Like, he is as complete a tight end as there is.
They gave him the ball on a jet sweep last night. George Kittle owns the NFL record for receiving yards in a season by a tight end. Last year, he had almost 1,400 yards, 1,377 yards.
And part of that's because there's not a lot of targets, especially last year for them with the injuries that mounted up, but still it doesn't take away anything of the greatness that he has been.
No question. So I'm just saying, like, yeah, Ertz has the record for catches in a year by a tight end. He's great. Kelce is the most productive tight end over a 3-year sample in the last 3 years. He's probably number one. Buddy plays with Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins on the outside. Andy Reid is the play caller, and Pat Mahomes as the quarterbacks. Like, would George Kittle have less production than Travis Kelce if he was in Kansas City? I don't think so. Like, I'm just not sure there's anything that George Kittle can't do as a tight end in this NFL. He's like, he was built in a lab for it.
Right, he's perfect for that position. And like you mentioned, he gets the ball, he gets handed off to as well. And that's what has become more of a tight end role in this modern NFL, is since fullbacks are next to non-existent, your tight end ends up picking up a little bit of that slack and lines up in a backfield from time to time, or lines up and makes himself a little end-around type of deal. Like, yes, like, he is as complete a tight end as there is in this league. And I found myself thinking that last night, too, of just like, God, that was the same draft. He's been in the league only, this is his third year. That was the same damn draft as Adam Shaheen, who is just, and again, another one of these rumors of things that's supposed to be great and supposed to be helpful. He's made, what, one big jump ball reception in his Bears career that we look back on and remember?
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of, all right, we're waiting for his back to get healthy. All right, he's in a tub again. All right, he's not playing. All right, he's getting blown up.
And obviously nobody saw this coming with George Kittle, right? He would have been drafted in
the first-round pick if you knew this was coming.
Exactly, right? And to the texter's point, yes, every NFL team has misses and all that. Of course, no one's saying that. And Pace had a good 2017
draft.
You just
mentioned the two All-Pros that he drafted.
Right.
Same year.
So it's not about perfection in the draft. It's just it's another what-if, because it's exactly what they wanted. Athletic,
like, to a T,
you tight end in that draft. They went into that draft trying to find one. They picked Shaheen. 3 rounds later, it ends up being Kittle. But all right, little thought exercise here, as we're sitting here on the Bears bye week and the Niners are undefeated. Everybody in the Bears division has a winning record. The NFC is wide open and tons of teams with winning record. These are the teams in the NFC right now with a winning record: Philly, Dallas, Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago, Minnesota, New Orleans, Carolina, San Francisco, Seattle, and the Rams. 11 of the 16 teams in the NFC right now have an above 500 record. If we were doing a draft and the goal is pick the NFC champion, when are we getting to the Bears?
All right.
Do you want to just do it?
Yeah,
you want to just
go back to back?
You want to just real quick just go through this here, just as a little exercise?
Sure, I like it.
All right, you can have the first pick.
I take the Green Bay Packers.
All right, I'll take the New Orleans Saints.
Okay, are we going back and forth, or
go ahead.
One right after the other?
Yeah, that's fine.
I will take this is right where it all closes up right away.
Yeah.
I'll take the Seattle Seahawks.
That's who I would have picked there. I'll take the Philadelphia Eagles.
That was going to be my next pick. I will, since they were my preseason pick, and I haven't loved them the last 2 weeks, but I'll stand by them. Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. And then this is where I would take, God, it's either Bears or Rams.
Not trusting San Francisco yet?
No. I mean, maybe I should be. But I'll take the Rams.
Okay, so you take the Rams.
So you could take the undefeated Niners, but in the tougher division and the team that really hasn't beaten anybody, but they've got the best point differential.
Is it better? Do you think the West is better than the... There's no Arizona Cardinals in the North.
That's true.
I don't know if...
That's true.
I think Green Bay is as good as it is in this conference. But in terms of depth, like Seattle, the Rams, I'm not buying San Francisco to win it all, but, I mean, they are 4-0 after last night. Like,
all right, so you want them?
Something. You took the Rams in that?
Yeah, I took the Rams. I took a third-place team over an undefeated first-place team. Bold strategy, Cotton.
I don't think it's that bold, even though that they were mighty impressive last night. Their defense has been playing lights-out football.
Make a
you
pick.
Know what?
We're going to get to the point of the conversation.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
All right, I take the 49ers because of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay, so then I'll take the Bears. So we just did this, and the Bears went 8th in the NFC. Because 7th or 8th, the point remains, mm-hmm. right? It's virtually the same thing. That is crazy.
Where did you start thinking about I could take them here, though?
I thought you could
after
start...
After Green Bay and New Orleans.
I think you could... I think Green Bay, New Orleans, Seattle, Philly, you clearly have to take in front of the Bears right now. I think the Bears could have gone as early as 5 and as low as 8. I think you could make a Bears argument over Dallas. It'd be a bit of a stretch, but I think you could make it. I've got no problem with the Bears being in front of Carolina. I'd have no problem with them being in front of the Rams. I'd have no problem with them being in front of the Niners. So I think anywhere from 5th to 8th in the NFC is where they should be right now. But in ours, they ended up going 8th. You took Dallas in front of them. I don't know. Like that feels about right to me.
Yeah. I'm curious also, like, we didn't mention the Vikings because they were absolutely pathetic when they were down here. Team we haven't seen yet, at least on the Bears' schedule yet, that I think is interesting and compelling. I think the Detroit Lions, they are a fumble away against the Kansas City Chiefs, a fumble at the goal line away from being 3-0-1, from being a team that is sitting atop the division right now. And it's a team that you entered this year thinking, all right, it's going to be a battle. Vikings, Bears, and Packers, they'll battle out for the NFC North, and there should be a decent amount of gaps still. And then Detroit. I'm not win the NFC, and I guess that's the whole part of this conversation, but that's a team that's surprisingly good and like in true playoff contention here a quarter of the way through the year.
And texters are saying, okay, well, it sounds like you guys are overreacting to the Raiders game. Well, yes and no, because the Raiders loss... I mean, it's the easiest game on the Bears' schedule for a while, right? So losing that game, you get the Saints. They were the second pick in this draft. Might have Drew Brees back in time. Then you get the Chargers. Then at Philly. Philly was the 4th pick in this draft. Then the Lions. Bears were in front of the Lions. Then it's at the Rams. The Rams went 2 spots in front of the Bears in this draft. Giants are awful. Who knows what they'll be then? They will have Saquon Barkley back.
Awful team that beat the Bears last year because of a backup quarterback.
Exactly. Then at the Lions, but then Cowboys, Packers, Chiefs, and then in Minnesota, week 17. Bears were in front of them. Bears have beaten them, but obviously that's not an easy game to win on the road, especially if it matters for the Vikings. So the Bears have 11 games left, and both Detroit games and the Giants game, the only teams where... the Bears are definitively better than them?
I think so.
So 3 of the 11 games? Now, that they could beat any of the other teams, but 3, all of a sudden, with the Akeem Hicks injury, with Trubisky not taking a step forward, losing to the Raiders, the Bears are definitively better than 3 of the remaining teams on their schedule.
Yeah.
Games on their schedule, because it's the Lions twice.
It makes the playoffs look like anything but a sure shot, doesn't it? Like,
exactly.
We were sitting here before the season, and anything short of an NFC Conference Championship appearance was going to be a disappointment. Now you look at that part, and it's, okay, well, if you're looking for the positives, Teddy Bridgewater will probably still be playing, it seems like. And the Saints, you get them off of turf. It's not so much even being in their home dome as much as it is them playing on turf versus playing on grass. You get them on grass instead. All right, that helps the Bears. Not saying the Bears will be favored in that game and be real curious in a couple weeks when that comes out, but that's a favorable matchup. You get the Chargers to have to come here. That helps, but it's like, it's a daunting schedule, man. It is... we talked about it at the start of the year. As soon as the schedule came out, it's a first place schedule. It's a first place schedule. Well, if you're going to be a good team, if you're going to win an NFC, you're going to have to beat these teams at some point. I mean, it's going to be like those first four games, five games out of the shoot, out of the bye. Like each of them have a huge feel to them because now you're sitting at 3-10. That's why that Oakland game was so important.
Of course.
Not trying to overreact to it. Of like, yes, it was a bad showing. It was a bad showing at the absolute worst time because the difference of 4-1 and 3-2 is just monumental where your standing is right now in the NFC and how much kind of leeway it gives you the final 11 games you simply just don't have now.
Yeah, it was a terrible loss, and it's not just that they lost, but how they lost and the depleted nature of the team around them. And we say before the year, you can't predict how tough a schedule is going to be, but now that you're a third of the way through the season, you could start looking at it. Saints lost Drew Brees, haven't lost a game since. They're a really solid football team.
Yeah.
We now know that. The Packers, they've already beaten the Bears. We know that they are a much improved football team from a year ago. Healthy Aaron Rodgers and getting rid of Mike McCarthy and investing heavily on their defense, it's amazing, you know, what that can do. It's not going to be an easy road, and I just wish the Bears had anything else that they could hang their hat on other than their defense. Now, that's a big other than, because that defense should keep them in basically every game, but they just lost the anchor of that defense for what looks like, you know, a considerable amount of time. They probably won't have Akeem Hicks for multiple of those games after the bye. We'll see, but that's certainly how I'm operating right now as we're doing this power ranking. And the offensive line, they've got the third, they're 29th in the NFL in yards per carry. The offensive line is broken. That's making the offense be broken. And Mitch Trubisky, if he comes back, what version are they getting of him as he's playing through an injury? We didn't like healthy Mitch Trubisky. So what type of quarterback play are they going to get with him? It's just, it's turned kind of daunting given how good the division and the conference looks. It's just the reality of it, man. The Niners are good. We picked the Bears right next to them, but the Niners have a legitimate foundation, and Kyle Shanahan is an offensive wizard. You know I'm a big fan of Matt Nagy. You'd be a fool to take Matt Nagy ahead of Kyle Shanahan right now with the creativity and stuff that he had on display for the Niners last night and so far this season.
Without question. You see 6 wins here for the Bears the rest of the way?
I mean,
because you have to get 6 just to be in the conversation for a playoff spot. Talking certain, not even a certain playoff spot. You feel good about your playoff chances if you have 7 wins. You see 6 even? New Orleans, LA, Chargers, at Philly, 2 against Detroit, at the Rams, home against the Giants, game against Dallas, at Green Bay, at Minnesota, and versus Kansas City. You need at minimum 6 wins in that remaining schedule. You probably need 7 out of the 11.
See, the only games that I think that they are, that they can win any of them, obviously.
Right. That defense is going to probably, I mean, hell, you could have said it going into Sunday, and it didn't end up happening, but that defense should keep them in every single game they're in.
It's so hard to know, right? We don't know what injuries are going to happen. The Chiefs at Soldier Field in week 16
could be playing for absolutely nothing.
Right. Chiefs could have the 2 seed in the AFC locked up by that point. That's possible. Bears could be desperate in that spot. The Bears match up really well with the Vikings, right? They beat the Vikings twice last year, beat them already this year with Chase Daniel playing almost the entire game. Vikings could be out of it by week 17. So it's too tough to know. All I know is there aren't pushovers there. The pushover on the schedule was supposed to be the Raiders. That wasn't the case. Now the Raiders are 3-2. Now the next pushover that you get is the Giants. That is 1, 2, 3.
So over 4, a month away. It's a month and a half away.
That's 5 games away until you get the next team where you say, yeah, they're definitively better than them. So it's daunting given where they are. And we talked about it before the year. Health. It's where the biggest guarantee that the Bears were not going to be able to replicate from last year to this year, health. Already, quarterback got hurt, nose tackle got hurt.
Yeah, nose tackle that happens to be one of the best in the game and probably your second most valuable defender.
Right.
So is what it turns out to be.
A huge part of this thing is, look, is we could probably pull every NFL guest we have and say power rank the NFC, and they're going to do it in a different order. Maybe San Francisco is way higher. Maybe Dallas is way higher. Maybe the Rams are way lower. Who knows? But the point is it's a really damn competitive conference, and the Bears are finding themselves operating behind the eight ball because of that loss to Oakland and the injuries that they've had. People want to react to where we have the Bears compared to the NFC. We can do that. And a prominent commentator might have stepped in something. We'll help him out, obviously, coming up on The Score.
Obviously.
This is Sports Radio 670.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
You guys can call me crazy, but I'm excited about Tyler Palko tonight.
Thanks, Jaws. Good old ESPN analysts. Gotta love them. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Hoops at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale at nusports.com. The hour brought to you by CarX. Save up to $200 on four tires installed at CarX. Get back to the Bears compared to the NFC in just a minute. But, you know, ESPN analysts, they're good. Worldwide leader in sports. High paid, but also highly replaceable because ESPN is just the engine that keeps on churning, right? So they normally don't really step on those third rail issues so much. Steve Young was on with Michael Kay in New York. Steve Young, obviously a part of the Monday Night Football team, right? He's part of Monday
Pre-
Night.
Pre and post game, yeah.
Monday Night Countdown. He's on the sites for all the games. Steve Young let his opinion be known on the game quality that they've been getting on Monday nights.
Three more weekends for Giants, Jets, and a Bristol trip. So we're
we got a Jet game, huh? That should be fun.
Well, you know the league and the ESPN, they make sure that we're leveraged for the best possible.
Yeah, talent. You guys always get the best stuff. Yeah,
we get the best matchups. I mean, the $1.5 billion, that's well spent.
We'll have a good one tonight, though. 49ers Browns. Don't get in trouble.
Don't worry. We won't accentuate it, but I enjoyed
lose
it.
You.
We enjoyed it, though.
Just don't tweet that opinion out. That's all.
We won't accentuate it. Don't put it on social media. Don't put it out there. Here's the thing. He's obviously exactly right. And I said this with Mac a week ago. And he's like, oh, that all might be true what you're saying. I'm like, no, it might be true. It is true. ESPN has to pay a premium for Monday Night Football because they don't just pay for Monday Night Football. They pay for video rights to the NFL so that when you turn on ESPN during the day, you're always seeing what's called B-roll, background video, of highlights and footage of NFL games. If you turn on Fox Sports 1 during the day and you're watching Colin Cowherd or Nick's show or Skip Bayless' show or whatever, you very rarely see.
It's a lot of still images and it's a lot
graphics
of
graphics and shots of the anchors.
Press conferences and whatever else. It's not actual gameplay.
Exactly. Because what Fox pays for the NFL games on Fox doesn't include unlimited use of video. What CBS pays for the CBS games doesn't include unlimited use of video because they don't have a channel that would require one. ESPN does. But so ESPN pays that much money, and what they do on their shows, like on Outside the Lines or High Noon, or Dan Le Batard might go off and, you know, talk about how football is killing its players and driving Andrew Luck away from it. Roger Goodell and the NFL don't really love that. So as a result, yeah, ESPN has to pay a premium, but ESPN, they don't get the first pick. When they're making these schedules come out, NBC gets the first pick for Sunday Night Football because you can flex games. It's only one game a week. It's the marquee game. And then Fox and CBS rotate for second and third pick, and then ESPN usually gets the fourth pick of the week. Now, They get a few times where they get to pick top billing. Like this year, they have Cowboys-Giants. Cowboys-Giants is always a ratings juggernaut, so I guarantee that was a top pick when they were doing schedules. But for the most part, Monday Night Football operates behind the other broadcast partners of the league because the league doesn't love that ESPN has a journalism arm and an editorial arm, opinionists, who will occasionally be critical of the brand.
We were talking about the Knicks earlier, New York Knicks, and what Kevin Durant said about it. And it's, oh, people of my age, they never saw him play in a finals or at least be the old Knicks and this lore that you heard so much about. The Knicks thing. That's kind of Monday Night Football to me. But I remember as a kid, like, my mom would get off of work at 8 o'clock and rushing home on Monday, or she'd work till 8 o'clock on Mondays and rushing home to see the start of Monday Night Football. You'd get there like 5 after the hour, and you'd see the helmets explode and the Hank Williams song and the excitement of, oh my God, it's the Chiefs are playing, and I haven't seen this Chiefs team. I get to see Derek Thomas tonight. Oh my God, they're playing whoever it might be. Greg Lloyd and Kevin Green and the Steelers. This is awesome. This is great, and it's all exciting.
I could see Little Shep being really excited for Derek Thomas. Oh my God, Derek Thomas. This is so exciting.
Neil Smith's going to do the baseball.
You're damn right Neil Smith was going to do that. And they're going to film the commercial where they're spitting in each other's faces, but so on and so forth.
Wait, I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? Where they're tearing up the locker room pregame? Oh, that was a classic commercial. Wish I knew the advertiser it was linked to it. Obviously, it didn't work too well, but I remember the commercial. But
Baby like, Shep.
The bigness of Monday Night Football is non-existent. And part of that's a broadcasters. It seems like it's like a C-team type of broadcast when you tune into it. The matchups are flat out horrendous. I mean, this week we get Lions and Packers, and that's a rare hit for them.
Yeah, that's good.
The 49ers are undefeated, and that's great and dandy if you're a 49ers fan. But was anyone compelled? Was anyone that excited to watch either of those two teams last night?
No, they've gotten a little unlucky this year. So it's Lions-Packers this week, so that'll be good. The next week, Patriots-Jets.
So there's a 30-point game.
Yep.
Dolphins and Steelers. The Dolphins are the worst thing in football, and the Steelers are as disappointing as anything in football.
Cowboys-Giants will
disaster.
Be...
disaster.
That'll be a huge draw.
It'll be a huge draw, but the game will suck.
Agreed. Like, but that's a win for a network that'll judge this thing by ratings. Like that game will do well. You know what I mean? I'm with you. The game will suck, but it's a division rivalry, two huge fan bases. That's a win for them.
It just feels like it's a complete... I mean... it's hardly a shell of its old self. Like, there used to be this bigness. There used to be this awesome, oh my God, it's Monday Night Football. And now I'm happy the Bears' one date on Monday Night Football is out of the way. Even that one, when you're playing Washington, is like, that is a disaster of a franchise, and they got their issues everywhere. It just feels so half-assed compared to the rest of the way you take in the NFL on any given Sunday. That it feels like so much of an afterthought, and part of that's probably because of the availability. You can watch football on Thursday. You can watch NFL games all day Sunday. If you want, you can get your DirecTV package and single in on every game that you want to specifically watch or take in the red zone. It's just Monday Night Football seems like it's just a complete afterthought at this point. And it's on every week for me. It's on, but the actual presentation of it and everything behind it just feels like it is completely half-assed compared to the way the rest of the NFL does. The rest of the NFL networks do it.
I think that's right. I also think it's a saturation point. Mm-hmm. We watch football on Thursday, then we watch football on Saturday, then we watch football on Sunday, then the best broadcast and the best games is Sunday night, and then by Monday you're a little tired of it.
Yeah,
and you've been watching so much football that one game feels a little slow and it can feel a little isolating. And then when you get a blowout, you're like, wait, so I've been watching football for the majority of the time that I've been awake for the last 72 hours. And I know that's more
this is what I get.
Me than maybe people with, you know, well-adjusted lives and families and normal careers, but football's at least been on for a huge part of your time over the previous 3 days. And then that game gets to be double digits last night. You're like, yeah, all right.
Good.
I'm good here. So I think part of it is the product of the era. Like, if they would have gotten Peyton Manning, it would have helped, right? I think if Peyton Manning was the broadcaster for Monday Night Football, that would have added a bigness to it. but we still would have had an oversaturation of football in our lives.
Yeah, Peyton Manning would have helped a little bit. Like, okay, what's Peyton Manning going to talk about? And it's you value more of what comes out of Peyton Manning's mouth than what you value coming out of Booger's mouth. But it's just all of it, whether it's Tessitore and his over-the-topness. And I get it, you have to sell the product. We heard the Ron Jaworski clip kind of leading into this segment of trying to tell us that Tyler Palko is worth watching and he's excited to watch him and feeding us a whole bunch of crap on that. But it just, it feels completely, like I know that you and Mac last week were talking about where the Monday Night Football broadcast team kind of ranks compared to the rest of them. And it's like, it feels like it's very close down a level with the broadcast team the Bears got the other day and Dick Stockton.
Oh, no, 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 no.
You don't think it's that bad?
No.
You don't mind if I call you Dick, do you?
Come on. Like,
that felt like a fourth team. It, when you watch
Joe
Monday
Tessitore
Night Football,
at least knows players on the field.
Okay, maybe a little bit.
Dick Stockton.
They're not the worst broadcast on Fox, but they're maybe the second or third worst.
I call you Dick.
You sure can.
Two of them, wow.
Don't want you to call us anything else.
That broadcast is not good, though.
I understand. I'm just saying, don't insult Joe and Boog and Lise by saying that they're Dick Stockton and stink. Don't. That's insulting.
Maybe it's a little bit strong.
That's a bridge
but it's not
too far.
Good. Whatever the case, it's not good in any capacity.
What do we enjoy more? Who's better, Booger or Stink?
This is the world and the profession of which we've chosen. Put it on the poll. Don't, Sean. He went to the computer right away.
He's right away. Yeah, right, the Phenom had his Twitter poll out, ready to go.
Hey, who's Tampa using as their opener tonight? Did you guys see this? That the Rays haven't used an opener since September 11th of this year, and in an elimination game in the postseason, game four, right? They're down 2-1. They're using an opener in a playoff series.
I didn't see who they're starting.
I like that.
Diego Castillo,
an opener.
He started like 8 games for them as an opener.
He opened 8 games for them.
I'm confused.
An opener, Tanny. Let me explain it to you.
Is he starting? Is he opening? Is he closer? I don't know what's going on.
It's very confusing. It's convoluted. Baseball can be a really dumb sport sometimes, but we love it. So, yeah, he's going to pitch one inning. He will open the game and one inning in an elimination game. What a weird franchise.
It's a weird franchise, but that's also part of the reason that they're able to compete with Boston. They're able to compete with New York. Annually, it's not like it's a flash in the pan when the Rays are good. Over the last 10, 12 years, that's been a team that ultimately, they haven't won the biggest of prizes, but little old Tampa that has 3,000 people show up night after night and no one has an interest in them and they have no money to spend on anything, they somehow find a way seemingly every damn year to be in that conversation. If they're not in the playoffs, they're making a push towards one with about as few resources as any team in baseball has.
At McNeil_Parkins on Twitter, Sean Anderson trying to get fired on his day off. Who would you rather have as a color commentator? Danny Parkins specifically told me to put this on the poll.
The Phenom.
Booger or
Turn
Stink?
And heel.
Yeah, turn and heel. That's all right. I see what it is. Put my awesome sunglasses and sweater on Twitter earlier. Put it up great poll questions now.
I should have said fashion icon, Danny Parkins.
That's right.
Told me to put this in the poll.
That's right. These are Lululemon pants. These things look good. What, you think I should be embarrassed to wear Lululemon pants? It's all Hall wears. That's my buddy.
Oh, you shouldn't be embarrassed whatsoever.
They're unbelievably comfortable.
That's what I've heard.
If I could afford more of them, I would wear them every day of the week.
When I take on 3 other part-time jobs in order to pay for them, yeah. I will let you know how they feel.
I got 2 pairs right now. I need to get up to 4. Maybe this holiday season.
There's no way they're more comfortable than my $15 Costco Adidas pants. There's no way.
I bet Tanny's right. They might be on the level, but they're not greater.
But Tanny, but you can wear these things. You know, you can wear them TV. You can wear them with a sport coat. They're so unbelievably comfortable, but they give off the appearance of being nice.
You can wear Tanny's wardrobe on TV. I don't know if
not right. If you want to be invited back.
Okay. Well, you didn't have that stipulation.
I'm just saying.
You wear it one time, you're not going to go away with it a second time.
Well, Mitch's unofficial rule is just wear a sport coat when you're representing the station. So I can wear anything else or nothing else. Just a sport coat.
Put on your NBA Jam t-shirt, sport coat over it. We're good to go, right. Mitch.
With Adidas pants. All right. That's good luck. We should get you on the panel.
I have no interest in being on it.
Why?
They've asked for me to be on the panel before. I'm not interested.
Not interested.
You
no.
And
I'd have to leave. First of all, I'd have to leave this place early.
Why would you want to leave this that? Paradise?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I would love to have you and a screaming Jason Gotch going at it over.
Oh yeah,
God
I would
definitely. What.
Yeah, I would not be on their A list. I assure you that.
These are not yoga pants that I'm wearing, texters. I promise you, they're like
thank
dress.
Goodness, they're not.
They're like dress hybrid pants, if that's a thing.
But you can wear those to like a fancy dinner.
Yeah,
like you can get away with that. You can get away with those for your TV gear. Like those are damn solid pants.
And I did. Yeah, they are incredible. I'm telling you, if I could stomach spending this much money on clothes more often, I would have more pairs of them when I do.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Oh, if it's not at Marshall's, I'm probably not buying it.
We'll bring in Joe Ostrowski next on The Score.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and the first ever 8-passenger Hyundai Palisade. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
I need the people talk.
Nor would we want to. All right, Joe, I'm going to go rapid fire. Did this with Hub earlier. I'm going to go young quarterbacks. Would you rather have Mitch Trubisky or fill-in-the-blank young quarterback? You can answer it however you want, but now and the future is how I, you know.
Current contract, all that.
Exactly. All right. We start with last night's losing quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Baker or Mitch? Oh, God. Silence.
This is much more of a thought that I thought for – I was
– no, not at all. What do you like about Baker? I would say Baker because I get him for a longer period of time.
He's also only in year two.
But I'm not sold. Like, if it's for one game or one season, I'm not sold 100%. That
no,
you
who'd you rather have on your team?
I go Baker.
You go Baker, but it's close. All right, Josh Allen.
Allen.
Lamar Jackson.
Jackson.
Kyler Murray.
Murray.
Gardner Minshew.
Minshew. That's the quickest one so far.
I think he's a fraud.
Fraud?
Fraud. Straight up fraud.
I don't know about
I think I've been saying that for a month.
Fraud seems.
And I'm still waiting.
So you got Gardner Minshew as a starter in the NFL 2 years from now?
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky as a starter in the NFL 2 years from now?
Maybe not. I mean, but I do not think Minshew's a starter in the league in a couple of years.
If I could start fresh with Minshew, I would.
Okay, so you haven't taken Mitch over any of them so far. Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones,
no question. So is there a single quarter, Kyle Allen?
I might take Allen. But man, it's hard because he's got McCaffrey with him.
Right,
and he has not been spectacular. They've won three games.
That's what's so hard to me is trying to evaluate whether it's last night, whether it's the Bears' part. And trust me, I don't want to make excuses for Mitch. He's not been good. He's not been anywhere near. When you trade up to get a guy at number two, he's not been anywhere near that player. I don't care how many games he played in college. I don't care how many systems he's been through in 2.5 years in the NFL. He's not been anywhere near that. But I find it so hard to evaluate him. Evaluate Baker Mayfield like last night, that offensive line. Like we loved the Browns this offseason because they get the names we're familiar with.
What if Mitch had those weapons?
It doesn't matter.
But what you're saying there is that there's not a single young quarterback in the NFL that you take.
Rosen.
Can't even count him.
Okay. Rosen. Darnold. I would take Darnold.
Dak? I think that's close.
Dak is close.
Dak is in such a damn good situation that his stuff is inflated. People killed me for saying that before the year. I think that Dak, we finally saw it. Lyle Collins was hurt. Tyron Smith was out. Threw three picks, got sacked three times, and got hit six more times. We finally saw him have not a perfect offensive line, and he was not good.
Yeah, no, Mitch has one weapon. One weapon.
Yep.
And I know you guys were talking about the front office earlier on in the hour, and something that I'll discuss tonight is, do they have an evaluation problem on the offensive side of the ball? There is one guy you can depend on. And we all were hoping second year off the ACL that Allen Robinson would be that guy, and it looks like he's that dude. But all these other guys that they're bringing up, whether it's for money, draft cap, moving up to go get, like, they're not hitting on them.
I still think Tariq Cohen was a good pick on the offensive side of the
Absolutely.
Ball.
Absolutely.
I still think that Cody Whitehair was a good pick on the offensive side of the ball. I know that's not a popular opinion right now, mm-hmm. but He's already made a Pro Bowl, and he's already shown versatility. I still think Cody Whitehair is a good second-round pick on the offensive side of the ball for Ryan Pace.
And if people want to jump up and say you haven't seen enough from Montgomery, I understand. Same thing with Anthony Miller. Understood. But it's all about right now.
Agreed.
You pushed all your chips in to win right now, so they need to perform immediately.
What are you doing on the show tonight?
A lot of Bears conversation. Get into some of that David Sampson interview from earlier this morning. And I'm going to bring on Herbie to talk about his feud going on with Steve Stone right now.
Wait, what? What happened?
You guys haven't seen any of this over the last week?
No.
No.
It's like carried on for
on Twitter?
A good half a week. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I haven't. Battling. Do I not follow Steve Stone? Is that why I'm not seeing this?
You're blocked. I don't know. I don't know.
I saw his tweet defending Jerry Reinsdorf the other
day. Yeah, yeah. And before that, he's been going at her about it, usually about 1 a.m. for some reason.
Letting the dogs out in Arizona.
Yeah.
Middle of the night.
Wow, really?
I had no idea that there was a feud. And yes. Herb's got the big chair tonight, 10 to midnight. Maybe he can get Stoney on. They can debate it back and forth.
Hey. Not a particularly good way to start.
He's clearly up.
Oh, this is exciting.
Isn't it?
I would have led the 5 o'clock hour with this.
Now I got to pull it up. Do we really have to leave? I sit and debate this.
Yeah, can we do that right now?
Go ahead.
That's incredible. All right, have a good show, man. Thank you to Sean Anderson, who was in for Shep. Shep's in for Mac.
The Phenom, right, not me, Sean Anderson.
Right now we got a 50-50 poll going at McNeil_Parkins. Who would you rather have broadcast the game, Booger or Stink? Booger getting 51%. Yeah, I didn't want it to
be. You don't mind if I call you Dick, do you?
Chris Tannehill, fantastic work as always. So far tomorrow, Alex DeBrincat going to join the show at 2:45. Rich Campbell will join the show at 3 o'clock. Blackjack McDowell will be on the show at 5:30. For Nick Shepkowski, I'm Danny Parkins. That makes us McNeil and Parkins. Today, we are The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.